Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. This program contains mature content and may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
So just spit it out real plain. Don't use big educated words from your BS degree.
Straight talk, straight talk.
Don't try BSing me.
Straight talk, straight talk.
Turn loose and let it go. You can tell me anything, just like on Oprah's show. Just tell me how
good evening, good evening, Bahamas. You're listening to Kenny's Corner. This is your host, Kennedy Delavo. And we're going to have some straight talk tonight. You can tell me anything, almost just like Oprah, but of course, not so much. So guys, tonight we're going to have an open conversation. We're going to talk about colon health. I'm your host, Kennedy Delavo, and tonight we're having a conversation that could quite literally save your life. Tonight's topic is colon cancer. Now, I know for many people, this is not a subject we talk about comfortably. In fact, in many of our families, we avoid the conversation about digestive health, screenings, and anything that feels a little too personal. But the truth is, silence can be dangerous. Colon cancer is one of those illnesses where early detection truly makes the difference between life and death. When caught early, it's highly treatable. Yet so many people delay screenings, ignore symptoms, or simply do not have the information that they need to make informed decisions about their health. This is why tonight's conversation is so important. We are going to talk openly about colon cancer, its warning signs, who should be screened, and who should and how we should take preventative steps that can protect our health and the health of our loved ones. Joining me tonight is someone who brings expertise and compassion to the discussion, Dr. Gemma Roll. She will keep us informed and she will break down the medical facts in a way that we can all understand and hopefully leave tonight's program feeling more informed, more educated, more aware, and more empowered about our health. So if you're listening tonight, I encourage you to lean in into this conversation, share the information for your family, and do not be afraid to ask the questions that matter. Because here on Kenny's Corner, we believe that knowledge is power, conversations can change lives. Stay with us. The conversation happens now. Dr. Roll.
Madam, Mrs. Delavo.
How are you?
Great. I am great.
I love that for us.
Thank you for having me.
Gemma, it's always, Dr. Roll, it's always a pleasure to have you in studio. You bring a different perspective to some things that we don't necessarily have the tenacity to have the conversation on. I want you to tell the people in our listening audience what it is that you do, where they can find you. I want that to get out of the gate right off the top.
I am a board certified, American Board of Internal Medicine certified gastroenterologist. What that means is that I go into the stomach, I go into the colon by way of a camera, something called a scope. We do these procedures quite often to search for abnormalities, confirm normal bowel and stomach. I am a consultant at the Princess Margaret Hospital, also consult at Doctors Hospital. I have a private office that is in Oxford Medical Center, 4th Terrace off Centerville, off of Collins Avenue.
Now, Gemma.
Mm-hmm.
Colon cancer, because I have some questions that are in my inbox, and they're mixed questions, right? But the most fervent one is, does colon cancer only affect men? Because women are women want to know. There was a question mm-hmm. that was sent to you that came from a woman because she said mm-hmm. she needs to have her colonoscopy done this year for her annual physical. But who does colon cancer affect?
Wow. I'm so happy that we started with that question out the gate. So there are many women that feel that colon cancer is a man's disease, probably because we may be mixing it up with the prostate, because mm-hmm. we can access the prostate through the rectum, and men have prostates. But we all have a colon. The purpose of the large intestine or colon is to store stool or to reabsorb water from what we intake, and we can expel the waste through the colon and the rectum, right? So we all have a colon. We all have a rectum.
Okay.
Both men and women can be affected by this.
Okay.
Colon cancer starts off as colon polyps, which are small growths in the colon. They can be asymptomatic. Sometimes you can have symptoms. We'll talk more about that. But they grow into a cancer, right? And so, yes, to answer the question specifically, both men and women are affected by colon polyps and colon cancer.
Now, Dr. Rule, when it comes up to the colon, you are a regular person. You're thinking that you have, how many bowel movements should you have a day?
You can have 1 to 3. It doesn't have to be every day that you have a bowel movement. You can have a bowel movement every other day, every 2 days, whatever is your normal.
Okay.
Now, what may be somewhat of an alarm is when it changes for no good reason or for whatever reason, it changes.
Right.
That's where this concern comes in. It may be physiologically ideal to have a bowel movement after every meal, but that's not necessarily normal.
Okay.
Right? If it doesn't happen, it's not abnormal.
Okay. Yeah. So what are some early signs that you have a problem? What are some early signs that say, I need to get to Dr. Gemma Rule immediately? Not like the hard and fast ones, or if there's like blood and stools or anything. Like, what do you feel something that says, hey, I need to get to Dr. Gemma Rule? It's like there's a stomach thing. What happens?
So let's just bear in mind that the most common symptom of colon cancer is that there is no symptom, right? Asymptomatic.
Oh.
So the bowel is a lumen. The bowel is, imagine a balloon. Right. Mm-hmm. Or a long, you know, one of those long balloons that you can contort to make little toys out of.
Yes.
When things are growing in there, you know, you can pass stool through it. Everything may seem normal until it grows to a point where there is a blockage, for example. And then that's where the symptoms come in. Or if it's growing through the wall and you have the wall of the colon, you have symptoms as a result of that. Right. You know, I would preach that when you reach a certain age and that magic number is 45, okay? So I don't want for the message to be if you feel pain, if you have a change in your bowel habits, if you have blood in your stool, because yes, run to your doctor or gastroenterologist. But when you reach a certain age, start to have that conversation with intention to get screened.
Because this is actually one of the questions. What is colon health? Why is colon health something people should start thinking about earlier rather than later? So this is something at 45 we should be testing for. And what does the test look like?
Well, for one, I think that everybody in the country knows that we have a problem with breast cancer here, right?
Yes.
I think we've done a pretty good job at raising awareness for breast cancer because, like, people all around the world say, the Bahamas, we must have something in the water because you have young people dropping out like flies, right, with breast cancer, inflicted with this terrible disease. But colon cancer is a close second, right?
In the Bahamas?
Well, and in the U.S., our neighboring country.
Okay.
So number 3 is like the magic number here, like the third most common cancer, third most common cause of cancer death in the Bahamas.
Right.
In the U.S., that has changed, especially for persons that are under the age of 50. So that 45 to 55 age demographic is now, colon cancer is the most common cancer, right? I think it was Dawson from Dawson's Creek that just passed.
And yes, it was.
So it was around that time that we learned, or they put out new statistics, that young people are getting colon cancer just as frequent, right? 45 to 55.
But Gemma, what causes it? What causes colon cancer?
So there are a number of factors.
Okay.
There's those that I love to say, there's those that we can modify and those that we can't. Those that we can't modify are genetics. Those that we were born with, we inherited certain genes.
So you're predisposed to those things anyway.
Correct.
Okay.
So family history of colon cancer, or there are certain cancer syndromes, such as Lynch syndrome, which would be colon and endometrial cancer. Certain conditions of the bowel that would increase your risk, inflammatory bowel disease, for example. And then there are modifiable risk factors. So everything that we know that we probably shouldn't be doing, having a sedentary lifestyle, eating the things that we probably shouldn't be eating all the time, mm-hmm. right? A diet rich in red meat, high in saturated fats, low in fiber. These are modifiable risk factors, right? You can eat healthy, you can maintain a healthy weight, because obesity increases your risk of all types of cancers, and not being active.
So Gemma, that puts everybody within the sound of our voices in the populace for any type of cancer-related disease, because we have potato salad, peas and rice,
our
macaroni and cheese,
rich.
A Coke soda with a cup of ice, some guava duff, some chocolate on the side.
And that's just lunch. We ain't reached dinner yet.
And we ain't reached dinner yet. And then you have a Kong salad, and you have to have the Kong fritters, and you have to dip it in the Kong fritter juice. I mean, the Kong salad juice.
Wash that down.
You have to wash it down with a Guinness or a Kalik
or Sky juice. Yeah.
So we have little fiber, but we have such high starch and caloric intake.
Yeah.
Okay. Gemma. This is not the most normal question that I could come up with, right? And I have to ask it because some people don't know where the colon is. Mm. And so when they think colon, they do think prostate, like you said. And so does that affect your sexual prowess, colon cancer?
I can describe some scenarios where it can.
Where is the colon, by the way? Because that would help me answer this question for our listeners.
So we access the colon through the rectum.
Okay, so that's where this question came
from.
Yeah,
so this long flexible tube that's about a centimeter in width, it goes into the rectum and it's pushed up the abdomen across and down, because the large intestine most a circle around the abdomen, but we access it through a natural orifice, the rectum. How it may affect the sex drive, if you have, let's say, for example, a rectal cancer that's growing through the vaginal wall or growing through the butt, right? And masses growing through the side of the buttock, which I've seen. I would imagine that may affect someone's sex life.
That's a lot, Gemma.
Yeah. But having a colonoscopy certainly doesn't affect that.
Walk me through what happens with a colonoscopy, because that's our very next question. When you have a colonoscopy, right, some people think it's like putting fleet in your bottom, because that's the question.
Mm-hmm.
You put fleet in your bottom and you squeeze it
to clean
and everything comes out. Is that what a colonoscopy is?
So one of the most important parts of the colonoscopy is the bowel prep. You need to have all of the stool flushed out, not flushed, but essentially cleaned out prior to a colonoscopy, because you don't want stool to obscure the view.
Okay.
You want to see inside the colon. So the bowel prep entails drinking clear liquids for a full day, the day before the procedure.
So hold on, I can't eat nothing other than these clear fluids?
So right, for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, or sometimes you can get away with a small, simple meal the day before for breakfast, But then you're on clear liquids, which is priming the bowel for the clean out, right? And you also want to hydrate because you'll be flushing out your entire large intestine, right? Mm-hmm. So there may be a tendency to get dehydrated, but you're supposed to be on these clear liquids. And then you drink a large volume laxative. Now, it can be 2 liters, which is half a gallon, or we can have you drink a gallon, which is 4 liters, and that flushes you clean.
What does it taste like?
Well, everyone's taste buds are different, okay, right? It would have maybe a citrus-like taste. There are flavor packs that you can make it taste like cherry, strawberry, lemonade. There's different flavors that you can add to it.
Okay.
Or there's preps that are tasteless, odorless, right? And you would drink that the evening before and split that with the morning as well. You drink half in the evening and half in the morning if you're having a morning procedure.
And there's no food with this?
No, you don't eat solid food, right?
So now you know we have you on noodles around here. Can right. I have noodles?
So you can have your noodles 2 days before the procedure.
But not the day before?
Not the day before, preferably.
Do they put you to sleep?
So you're sedated for a colonoscopy. You don't feel anything. You don't remember anything during the procedure. But it's not a deep, deep sedation where you're not breathing and have to be placed on a ventilator, for the most part, if it's being done electively. But the sedation, you can follow commands. You can breathe on your own. We may give you some oxygen to support you. But it's like you're sleeping at home.
And you put it in the bottom, the rectum. That's where you put...
I would be placing the tube, mm-hmm. which is called a scope, a colonoscope, mm-hmm. into the rectum. And I would guide it through the entire large intestine.
And you can see what? If there's polyps, if there's anything?
Any abnormality. So other than polyps, we can see a condition called diverticulosis, which are these little pockets that form in the colon. We can see colitis, which is inflammation. Other less common abnormalities you may find.
Things that should not be there, you can see.
Perhaps.
Okay. Gemma, that's a lot. And then after that, my stomach is flat, right?
So you can lose 2 to 4 pounds.
Can I get this done tomorrow? I need this done tomorrow, Gemma.
So it's a good flush out. But as soon as you start eating, you're building up that residue again.
Okay,
And so we don't, so the Fleet enema is not real, it's not used typically for a colonoscopy.
Okay.
If we're doing what we call a sigmoidoscopy, which is a partial colonoscopy, we're only looking at the left side, we may use a Fleet enema because an enema only cleans out the distal part of the colon.
What does distal mean? The end.
From the rectum and maybe the part called the sigmoid, which is the last 40 or 50 centimeters of the colon.
Now, Gemma, I do have another sexual question, right? I've heard, and based on the communication that's in these WhatsApp messages, for that type of a different type of sex, is it anywhere near that?
A G spot in the rectum?
Yes. Yes, that's the question. Tell us. We want to know.
Well, when a colonoscopy is being done, the patient is under the influence of drugs, right? They're being sedated. There are some sedatives that can give you perhaps some sexual dreams.
No, that is not the question. Let me read the question. Kenny, we've heard that... Oh, I shouldn't read this. Kenny, I've heard that there's a different type of sex that you have when you've had a colonoscopy and you've reached your peak.
What peak?
I don't know.
The peak of colonoscopy?
No, peak. There's a sexual peak, Gemma, from when you have sex a different way.
But you're not having sex in the colon with the colonoscopy.
Right, but this person thinks that it affects their anal. Does it? Can it?
I would say no.
My texter, it cannot.
I mean...
It does not.
A G-spot in the rectum?
Is that a thing?
I haven't heard of it. Okay. I'm not the gastroenterologist that has heard of that. I'm sorry.
Gemma, listen, the messages that I get will drive you to drink.
I don't get those questions at the office.
Listen, I get the weirdest questions. So this is another question. Are there any differences in colon health risk between men and women, and what should I do? I've been asking my husband to get a colonoscopy for many years. Yes, I've been asking him, but no, I haven't done one either because I only thought that it was a man's thing. But we've answered that question already.
Correct.
She's pushing her husband to get his, but she hasn't gotten hers. So text her. You're pushing your husband to get his. You should do yours too. If you're over 45, Gemma?
If you're over 45, if you're 45 and older, you get a colonoscopy.
Do you get one every year?
No. Oh, and that's the great thing about colonoscopy. So colonoscopy is so good that a normal one will give you 10 years without needing to be screened.
Really?
Different from a pap smear, different from a mammogram, right?
So mammograms are every year?
Absolutely.
You have to let our women know that.
Oh, annually. Listen, I know it's hard. Trust me. It is hard, especially when you have like busy schedules, you have children, you have a life, you have whatever. But mammograms should be done every year. You talk to your doctor about what type of screening that you do. Mammogram, ultrasound, MRI, right?
MRI
of the breast. For some of us who have a strong family history of breast cancer, depending on your genetics, you may need to be screened with an MRI. But that is definitely something that should be discussed with your primary care physician, you know, what type of screening you should do. But for the most part, in general, it's a mammogram that you have.
This, I have a text coming in for you. It says, what's the price with or without insurance?
Prices vary depending on the location, the facility in which you're having it done, because you would pay the facility, you would pay the physician that's performing the procedure, and if an anesthesiologist is used, you'd be paying them. So the range of price can be upwards of $2,000 to $3,000+.
$3,000?
Yeah. Or more.
That's without insurance?
With or without, right? Okay. I mean, insurance pays for the majority of, depending on your plan. You may have a copay. You may have a deductible of $2,000. Okay. That will certainly eat it up. And that's I can definitely say that it costs less to do a colonoscopy here than it does in the wild, wild United States of America.
Okay. Okay, we answered that question. How often should someone... Okay, let me go back to this.
So, but a colonoscopy, if it's normal, is every 10 years. If you have a high, if you're increased, be it that you have a personal history of colon polyps or colon cancer, you do it more often, 5 years perhaps, depending on what type of polyp you have, you may need to repeat in 3 years. Some people need to repeat in a year. But it all depends on the index colonoscopy. What did your first one show and what risks you're carrying?
Okay, so Gemma, this is another question. I'll probably have to show this question to you. But in terms of coming to the office and getting a colonoscopy, Is there a special that you're running because this is a colonoscopy?
Yeah. So I will say that the close group that I work with, a close group of colleagues, we were the first to put the nation on to colon cancer awareness. And in an effort to do that, we, during the month of March, and sometimes it extends into April, there are deep discounts that are offered with colonoscopy, whether it be waived copays or, before COVID, the price of colonoscopy was cut by 50%. Right. But the cost to deliver care has increased. So it's not exactly 50% anymore, but there's a deep discount that's given. for those that do or don't have insurance.
Okay.
Right. And during the month of March, and we spill it over to April. So if you don't get to us until the end of March, it's still March, we'll have to extend it into April.
Okay. So everybody that's listening, there's a discount that's offered in March, and we extended a little into April.
Correct.
Correct?
Right. And, okay. And I found that we found that a number of places would offer their screening. Now, there are alternatives to colonoscopy, right? You can have what we call a virtual colonoscopy or CT colonography, right?
Really?
Where it's kind of like 3D, mm-hmm. right? Where the bowel, the images of the bowel are recreated to see on the inside. But it's not as good as the gold standard colonoscopy, because if a finding is found, you still end up needing a colonoscopy to deal with it, right?
So you might as well get the colonoscopy one shot. So Gemma, we have a circle group, right? Mm-hmm. And some of the women in the group have had hysterectomies. Mm-hmm. And because there was so much scarring that had happened, one of the OBGYNs said, listen, we had to fit certain things back in certain places. When you have the virtual colonoscopy or the alternative to colonoscopy, can that skew your findings?
The history of a hysterectomy skew the findings on a virtual?
Yes.
No.
No. Okay. No. Okay. All right, guys, that question is out of the way. We have that already sorted out. Now, what message would you give to somebody that's listening today who's put off getting their colon checked? And you're 45 and over. What would you tell them?
Well, first I'd want to understand, you know, what is the reason? Like, why is there a delay? Is there a fear of the findings? Is there a fear of the procedure? Is there the belief that they are invincible? And that because they don't feel anything, nothing is wrong, right? You know, I've had patients that come and told me, and if they're listening to me right now, they're probably going to chuckle. But there have been patients that would come and tell me, you know, they're only here because their spouse sent them.
Like the texter.
Sure, yeah. And shout out to all those wives and mothers that bring their sons and husbands to get checked. But I've had patients say that they're only here because of their spouse, and they want to prove to not only their spouse but their doctor that they're fine. They're the pillar. They're the poster child of good health, right? Okay. And there's nothing wrong. And the last patient that told me that had a huge mass in their colon with metastasis to the liver.
So you had to do...
So once they have a colonoscopy, you know, you would biopsy, confirm, you find out what type of tumor this is, and then they get referred for surgery.
And you, do you do the surgery, Dr.?
No, I don't do the surgery. That would be a colorectal surgeon.
Okay.
Yeah. And colon cancers you can be cured from colon cancer. That's a curable disease.
When you say cured, does that
mean? Meaning that once it's cut out, it's gone.
Really? Okay.
Right.
So guys, we don't have any reason to be afraid to get a colonoscopy whatsoever.
Well, you shouldn't. Well, when you think about, so first of all, there are risks to colonoscopy, right? Okay. Risks of complications with anything that you do, but these are minimal risks.
Okay.
If the guidelines state that everyone should have a colonoscopy, this should be a low risk procedure. You weigh the risks and the benefits. The benefit of a colonoscopy outweighs those risks more than 9 times out of 10,
okay.
Right? So why not?
Why not just get it done?
And if it's normal, you're
great.
Good for 10 years.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So this question reads, good evening. Can you ask Dr. Roll if it's necessary to have routine clean outs of the bowel, i.e. taking laxatives?
We never recommend stimulant laxatives to be taken on a regular basis because the bowel can become lazy. You can develop what's called a lazy colon, okay? Decrease your colon transit time, and that would just worsen the situation if you're starting off with constipation. It will only get worse.
Okay.
Stimulant laxatives are to be taken sparingly or on occasional, on an occasional basis.
Okay.
All right, we are going to take a quick break, and we're going to be back with Dr. Gemma Rule. We're talking colon cancer, colon health, wellness, awareness. We're going to be back again. We have a deep discount that happens in March, and it extends to April. Dr. Gemma Rule, the best gastroenterologist, that's what you call
gastroenterologist.
It? Gastroenterologist. In the hemisphere, ladies
the
and gents.
The only female gastroenterologist in the Commonwealth of the
in
Bahamas.
In the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. Dr. Gemma Rule.
Yes.
We'll be back on Kenny's Corner, Guardian 96.9. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
It's all in me. I can read your thoughts right now. Everyone from A to Z.
On the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
City of Miami Gardens presents JITG Music Fest. Janae Aiko, Ludacris, Ashanti, Nelly, Glorilla, LMA, Maya, Joe, D Nice and Friends, featuring WV, Donnell Jones, Case, Sunshine Anderson, and Kenny Burns, the Isley Brothers, L DeBarge, Stephanie Mills, and so many more. March 7th and 8th, Hard Rock Stadium. Tickets and info at jazzinthegardens.com. Jazzinthegardens.com.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And I stumble to the kitchen, pour myself a cup of ambition, and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower and it starts pumping. Out on the streets the traffic starts jumping, with folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5, what a way to make a living. Barely get tired, it's all taking and no giving. They just use your mind. Won't seem to let me. I swear sometimes that man is out to get me.
I mean, I'm feeling some Dolly Parton tonight. I love it. If there's one thing I want my listening audience to understand, is that Chris indulges me in all of my musical shenanigans. Chris, I thank you. I thank you, Chris. So we're back. We're here speaking with Dr. Gemma Rule, the only female gastroenterologist. Did I?
Enterologist.
I have to get my T's right, Gemma? Yeah. And she's also the immediate past president
of the association,
Medical
right?
Association Medical Association.
Gemma, mm-hmm. you wear some big crowns.
Yeah.
But Gemma, how does it feel, right? I'm going off topic a bit. Gemma, how does it feel to be the only female in this hemisphere? You're in a sea
not
of men.
Hemisphere.
I mean, we call an hemisphere because, you know, if we go to Olympics and we win one thing, we win. So to us, you win. How does that make you feel, Gemma? Knowing who your ma was, like, right. How does that make you feel?
I don't know. I feel good. You know, I don't know. I feel good about it.
Because
there's five of us, right?
Right. In the Bahamas, there's only five?
Five gastroenterologists in the Bahamas.
Marcus.
Uh-huh. Beverton Moxie.
Beverton.
Floyd Carter.
Okay.
And the great Harold Mennings, right?
It's really only five of you guys.
There's only five of us.
What made you say gastro?
What made me go into...
Mm-hmm.
So when after I finished college, so all that's in my entire youth, I wanted to be a dermatologist because,
okay.
You know, dermatology was sexy. That
mm-hmm.
was, you know, you dress up and you go to work and you just tell people how beautiful they are and give them beautiful skin. But then when I learned that dermatology was also a bunch of rashes and ugly skin lesions, you know, it lost its appeal.
Right.
And then somewhere between college and medical school, my father had his stint with colon cancer. He is a several-year survivor of colon cancer. And so that piqued my interest, right? I was working at Memorial Sloan Kettering in Manhattan in between college and medical school. And then when I got to medical school, I learned that gastroenterology is one of the hardest fellowships to get, right, in the U.S. because it is, it's one of the highest paid physicians in the U.S. because we do both internal medicine and we do procedures. So very competitive. And then that competitive nature in me kicked in.
Absolutely.
Somewhere after medical school when I was in residency. And so as an intern, I did my internship, residency, and fellowship in at SUNY Downstate in Brooklyn, New York. So when I was an intern, they called me the GI intern. I did every single elective in gastroenterology. I was competing against chief residents, attendings, people who were sent to school to be gastroenterologists. These were my competition. And here I was, this little girl from the islands,
yes.
You know. And who are they picking? They're picking people who will stay in the institution and draw more federal funding into the institution. But I wanted to go home. And I couldn't lie. I don't lie. I'm not a liar. So, you know, sitting there, and I love to tell this story, sitting there in front of maybe five or six panelists to interview
right.
me.
Yes.
You know, I just had to tell them I'm not necessarily interested in the research there. I just want to go home and I want to serve my people. Though I was competing against all of these wonderful physicians who I looked up to, I got a spot my first year out of residency. So it was the fact that I wanted to go back home, help my people. My father was already a survivor. And it was competitive. And I'm a competitive person. Champion pitcher at St. Andrews softball, right? Played on every sports team. It's just, I guess, in me to do that. So, so said, so prayed for.
So done.
So done.
When you got your doctorate, Gemma, everybody knew.
Yeah, thanks to my mom, right?
Yeah, thanks to your mommy. Everybody
yeah.
knew. Everybody knew. Everybody knew.
That
everybody
child,
knew.
That child.
So seeing that you have this competitive nature, I would assume that for sports day next week, you're going to
I
be
I will be
there
right there.
Shouting. And screaming for the kids, right?
Yes, I will be. So office is closed on the 17th of March. I will be there.
Everybody office could be closed because
okay.
I mean, if we didn't get the memo before, we got it last week.
Yes,
the 17th. Hi. So now, Let me ask these a few more questions, Gemma. What simple step can listeners start with today to improve their colon health immediately? We spoke about our very high starch diet, but what can we do to improve colon health? Or what can we do to improve colon awareness? Because it is a very, very prevalent thing, and it's curable. What can we do to improve it?
Eat more fiber.
What is fiber? Tell the people what fiber is, Gemma. Because, you know, when they think fiber, they think oats, bark off the tree. What is fiber? I mean, come on. I mean, let us be honest. That is what
yes.
we think.
So fruits, vegetables, we'll start there, right? Various fruits and vegetables have varying amounts of fiber in them. You know, we get the prunes and avocado high in fiber. But any fruit, any vegetable will give you your fiber. You have, like you said, the oats, the grains. There's legumes, the beans and the peas, lots of fiber there. Anything with a skin appeal, right? The colon loves this type of food. It creates bulk. It allows for stool to form better and pass through the bowel easier. So stock up on your fruits and vegetables.
Gemma, what is it about kunk that does it to your stomach?
That does what to the stomach?
That gives you the belly.
What? Oh, okay. So there's a handful of people that when they eat, you mean when they eat kunk,
yes.
you have a bowel movement
like,
or you have...
Not the cooked kunk, like kunk salad.
That would be individualized, right? Not everybody that eats kunk has that response to it.
Okay.
So
it's an individual thing.
It's an individual thing.
Okay. Well, I would be one of those people. Okay. If I'm in the 2 percentile, that would be me. It does something to me horribly. You mentioned the alternatives about colonoscopy, and we mentioned how many times one should be screened. But when you think about teaching about awareness, Gemma, where does the awareness for colon health and colon cancer begin? Does it start in the elementary stages? Does it start when we get to high school? When should we educate the next generation about colon cancer or colon awareness?
That's a good question. Well, for not just colon health, but I think when we focus on childhood obesity or we think about the rates of obesity in the country, you can revert to, I guess, the food pyramid that kind of flipped recently. We can educate children in schools about what their diet should look like, mm-hmm. you know, heavy on the fiber-rich foods, right? So not just colon health again, just in general, healthy diets we should encourage.
Are probiotics helpful for colon health and should people consider taking them?
So the colon is where the majority of the immune system is. When we eat contaminated food, you want for your immune system to take care of any germs that you're putting in your mouth. But it's also part of that is the germs, the good germs that live in the gut that mm-hmm. help us process foods, that help us decrease inflammation. So that's essentially what probiotics are doing. Probiotics are giving you good microbes, good bacteria. So I think that all gastroenterologists would advocate for that use to help us digest food.
Okay. This is another question. And it relates to alcohol consumption. It relates to alcohol consumption. How does alcohol consumption and smoking affect colon health?
So alcohol is an irritant. Alcohol can irritate anywhere along the gut, mm-hmm. Predominantly the stomach, but you can have alcohol-related colon disease as well. Alcohol affects the liver. The liver is important to process foods that you eat, as well as other toxins. So anything that irritates can increase your risk of chronic use of something can increase your risk of cancer.
Okay.
Smoking, we know what smoking can do.
Right.
Smoking affects blood vessels that we all have that feed the gut, feed our heart, feed everything.
Right.
Smoking, drinking alcohol, and even fat are all irritants.
What do you mean fat? Like you fat. Being fat? Or being a fat person?
Consuming fatty food.
Consuming fatty foods.
And also having extra fat on your body.
Okay.
You're in an inflammatory state, essentially.
Constantly?
Fat, yeah.
Okay. So when we think about hydration, right? Because you need water for the bowels and everything else to operate. I'm thinking, how many cups of water, how many liters of water should I have per day?
At least half a gallon to a gallon of water. Aim for a gallon of water a day. So 2 liters, great. 1 to 2 liters at minimum.
Gemini.
But if we aim for a gallon and we fall on 3, great. Ideal.
Ideally, that's what we should be doing.
So I find that when you tell patients to... Remember when everyone used to carry around that big jug?
Yes.
And, you know, it would tell you good, excellent, or whatever, whenever the state... Yeah, so...
Yes.
Yeah, that's how much you should aim to consume.
Gemma, but you know, I don't know if this is how the brain works, right? But when you don't need to drink water, you drink and drink and drink water all day. But the minute someone says to you, oh, you have to consume this amount of water... It goes in reverse. Like, I don't know if I could swallow all this water. I don't know if I could do this.
Yeah,
I don't know if I could do that.
But you've been doing it.
Yeah. But I think I'm gonna take you up on that colonoscopy, Gemma. I think I need to get mine done. Dr. Carol said that I needed to get it done last year, and I completely ducked her.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because I had the fair as well. I had the same fair, like all of the preliminaries in order to get there, and then the drinking of this and the drinking of that, because I heard it's like really something that's not so palatable to swallow that I have to take.
Everyone's tongue is different. Taste buds different.
I have to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm over 45. These things we have to get done.
Yeah, and shout out to those doctors that recommend that for their patients to have a colonoscopy, right? It's something about having to be the first person to tell a patient that they need a colonoscopy. Oh, my doctor never told me I needed to have one.
No, Dr. Carol legit wrote the script on that green long sheet of paper for me, and I completely left it in the car in the visor. Yeah, I mean, I'm being honest with you, but I'm going to get it done, Jem. I'm going to come the end of the month and get it done. I promise you.
Okay.
You can give me the good drugs to put me to sleep, right?
The good drugs.
We are going to take a quick break, and we're going to be right back. We're talking about gut health. We're talking about colon cancer here on Kenny's Corner, Guardian Radio 96.9 with Dr. Gemma Roll. Fresh news, smart talk all day.
A woman is a woman who gets all the love we girls leave behind. The reason I know so much about her is because she picked up a man of mine. Jumping slick was my ruin, 'cause I found out all I was doing.
Wait, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Wait, he fooled with Joe girl?
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't back down for nothing. So that means he got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you on?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. We gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean, cool enough.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody calling me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I wait?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me? Uh-uh.
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then you can get the pen from them, and they can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you're saying.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Loss of family members is very isolating, and people who have experienced loss appreciate when others have shared their grief. If you can't be there in person, go to the Nassau Guardian's website online at thenassauguardian.com and visit our obituary link. The Nassau Guardian's interactive obituary link allows you to read the funeral announcement, express condolences, or place photos on the online guestbook for one full year. Losing a loved one is painful, but that pain isn't the worst thing to happen. Friends, loved ones, colleagues, and neighbors who ignore the loss compound the pain. Should the bereaved family wish to place the obituary and photos on our obituary site, just contact the Guardian's funeral industry partners or the Nassau Guardian. Remember, there isn't one magic right thing to say to someone experiencing loss that will make the loss less painful or easier to bear. The Nassau Guardian's obituary link, available online at thenassauguardian.com.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Tell you girls just want to have fun, and this is a girls show. This is Women's International
Year. Forget
yes.
day, year.
Yes,
because
year.
Thanks to women, you're all here. All right? Let's start with that. But happy Women's International Day for all of the women that there that are championing other women.
So, Dr. Roll, this is another question that has come in, and this says, so how is the average Bahamian able to pay for this when it's so expensive? Many people don't have insurance, so what's happening now is a lot of persons only find out what's going on with their colon until it's terminal.
Mm-hmm. Very good question. As we said earlier, there's alternative to colonoscopy. When we think about national screening guidelines, we have NHI, we have the public system. As a nation, we have to think about how are we going to get patients screened. There is a stool test, right? It's called the fecal immunochemical test, called a FIT, where you submit your stool to a lab and they test it for occult blood, blood that you can't see, but microscopic blood in the stool. And the idea is that there could be something in the bowel that is bleeding, right? That is a test that's done every year. There will be false positives. There may be false negatives, right? Because the stool that you submit is maybe one, two, or three times in a setting, and you may miss something that may be bleeding. But to address colon cancer screening, this is what we have. This is what can be afforded, right? The alternative to a stool test, which is done every year. So here we have colonoscopy that I'm saying is the gold standard. It's good for 10 years if it's normal. The stool test, not as good, but it's better than nothing. That's done every year. Then you have a virtual colonoscopy that we spoke about earlier. That's done every 5 years if it's normal.
If.
Right? So, right. So that also speaks to the gold standard, something that can last you 10 years if it's normal. Because if we don't see it, you're good for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
But 5 years for a virtual, because small polyps can still be missed. And they'll tell you that if you read your report. They'll say that it used to be less than a centimeter in size. I think it's gotten a bit better, where they'll say 0.5 centimeters it could be missed. So that's how we pretty much address. So no, you don't have to, because you can't afford a colonoscopy to be screened, there are alternatives. Now,
okay.
If it's positive, you still end up needing the gold standard.
Okay. Okay. Gemma, we are almost out of time, but I want to get to this question. For someone who feels embarrassed discussing bowel health with their doctor, what advice would you give them today?
Okay. First of all, this is what we as gastroenterologists and even primary care physicians, because there's a whole lot of other things that I feel are more disgusting than what comes out of your rectum, right?
Mm-hmm.
We love to see the pictures. I want to see how your poop looks. I want to see if there's blood coming out of your rectum. I want to see these pictures, right? And if you think about the fact that this is what we do day in, day out, you're one of a
thousands,
many.
Right.
Exactly.
Because we do this all day.
So, yeah. So feel nothing by it,
okay?
We do rectal exams. We don't have any qualms about telling a patient to turn to their side, get in the fetal position, glove up, lube up, and put our finger into a rectum,
right?
Because I'm feeling for something that can change the trajectory
of your life,
right? There should be no qualms about it. I don't feel any way about it. And
okay.
I'm sure that, yeah, I'm sure that none of us would ever want to make a patient feel uncomfortable. And if you just think just that Gemma does this day in, day out, your rectum or your bottom is one of many. And we're not even looking at that, to be honest. Like, if you're really thinking about someone's inside,
right,
you're not thinking about how a person looks, or we're really not.
Okay. Gemma, I want you to give our listening audience where you can be found. I want you to tell them the deal that is being offered because of you and your small circle of colleagues for March and a very small portion of April. And I want you to close out the show with whatever little nugget you would like to give us.
Let me start with the nugget that colon cancer does not have to have a symptom, okay? The most common symptom for colon polyps and colon cancer, right? Also that rectal bleeding or blood out of the rectum is never normal, okay? Never. I don't care what age you are, it's never normal. my name is Dr. Gemma Roll. I am a guest. My WhatsApp number is 425-0440. You can WhatsApp me. My office is in Oxford Medical Center, which is 4th Terrace off Collins Avenue. In the month of March, well, March is Colon Cancer Awareness Month. There are deep discounts given for colon cancer screening. Yeah.
All right. Gemma, you wear a very, very heavy crown. I mean, the female past president of the Medical Association. You're the only female in the hemisphere. I'm going with hemisphere. I like that. I like that. Gastroenterologist.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. Hemisphere.
Mm-hmm.
You wear a heavy crown and you're a mom.
Yes.
Women's International Day is here. Women's International Year. You see you walking in the schoolyard, but you never really know what all you're capable of, Gemma. You wear some big boots. You're Ferragamo stuffed.
Yes.
I love that for us. Congratulations, Dr. Roll. I love that for
us.
Thank
you. Thank you, Kenny, for having me, Mrs. Delavaux.
It's always a pleasure, Gemma. It is always a pleasure. But ladies and gents, here we are. This is Tuesday, that hour that God had given us. Oh, hold on, Gemma. Gemma, this is a text. It says, can she say the cost? Gemma, give your number, and then you can tell them again. Give your number, and you message Gemma, and Gemma will respond to you. Give the number again, Gemma.
The number is, the WhatsApp number is 425-0440, and my office numbers are 326-4424. Or 326-4425.
Give me the WhatsApp number. I'm going to send it back to the texter. 425.
Mm-hmm. 0440.
Okay. 0440. Texter, I just sent you Dr. Roll's WhatsApp number. So this is another Tuesday evening, and that hour that they took back from us, Gemma, I was going to fold those clothes, but I'm not doing it anymore. I am exhausted. We get up in the dark now. Can we please get the time just to remain?
Oh,
it is just too much. But ladies and gents, this is another Sexy Tuesday. Put your leg over that man and let that man put his leg over you. Go ahead and get your colon checked in the month of March. This is Colon Cancer Awareness Month. It extends to a little bit of April. Dr. Roll and her colleagues are sending you a small discount or a good discount, sizable one. Please go and get your colon checked. This is curable. This is something that can be preventable. Go and get your colon checked. And your stomach for you ladies, it'll be flat for a few hours.
Yes.
You can wear the two-piece if you need to. But this is another Sexy Tuesday. You've been listening to Kenny's Corner on Guardian Radio 96.9. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This time around.